Welcome to this week's DBM Strategy Call, everyone. We have an absolutely packed episode today, covering a massive wave of news across macroeconomics, geopolitics, and major on-chain movements.
That's right. The digital asset and blockchain space is moving at breakneck speed. Let's dive straight into the big macro themes that are reshaping institutional finance. First up, we have the macro and institutional infrastructure landscape, starting with a massive prediction from Fundstrat's Tom Lee regarding Bitmine Immersion, BMNR. He expects the company will soon qualify for the large-cap Russell 1000 Index.
That is more huge liquidity entering the space. Entry into major benchmarks like the Russell 1000 typically forces index funds and ETFs to accumulate roughly 20 to 25% of a company's market capitalization. We're talking about massive passive fund inflows.
Speaking of institutional mandates, Circle CEO Jeremy Allaire came out with a striking statement this week. He noted that literally every major financial institution in the world now has an explicit mandate to implement digital assets in some form.
And the broader infrastructure is mirroring that sentiment. Look at what happened with BlackRock's iShares Bitcoin Trust. On May 26th, a historic 29 million share dark pool block trade worth approximately $1.3 billion hit the fund. The wild part? The market absorbed the entire trade with barely any price disruption, proving how deeply liquid and institutional-grade Bitcoin has become.
MicroStrategy is also playing defense to strengthen its posture. They deployed $1.38 billion of cash reserves to buy back discounted 2029 convertible notes.
An excellent move that is being observed by corporate balance sheets around the world. By wiping out that future debt risk, they reduce any lingering concerns that the company could be forced to sell Bitcoin during a market downturn. It's a pure confidence boost for BTC holders.
Meanwhile, traditional signals are changing. CME Bitcoin futures are transitioning to 24/7 trading, meaning the era of the infamous CME weekend gaps is ending.
Yes, traders love or hate those gaps, and while old ones remain, like the one sitting near $67,000, one of Bitcoin's most reliable technical indicators is effectively going away for good.
On the product side, Stable launched Stable Earn, allowing USDT holders to earn yield directly from real-world assets like US Treasuries and gold, while Saturn selected Chainlink's CCIP to power its on-chain digital credit products. This brings global access to Strategy's STRC to investors outside the US.
Real-world asset yield moving on-chain is a massive multi-trillion dollar narrative. In fact, Jefferies just forecasted that crypto and blockchain IPOs could balloon into a $1 trillion public market within 5 years, noting that tokenized real-world assets have skyrocketed from $1.5 billion in early 2023 to over $29 billion by April 2026.
Outside of crypto, macro investors need to watch the broader equity space. SpaceX is looking to raise $75 billion in an upcoming IPO on June 12th. With Bank of America private wealth clients sitting on record low cash levels of 9.9% and record high stock allocations of 66%, that money has to come somewhere. Investors might have to liquidate existing holdings, potentially draining liquidity across multiple sectors.
And finally, on the macro and tech side, Anthropic announced it will make its Claude Mythos AI model public in the coming weeks. We also saw Figure Robotics sign a massive commercial contract to deploy humanoid robots into live retail warehouses, sparking major debates on the future of physical factory jobs.
Fascinating. Okay, next we have the geopolitics and sovereign movements. Governments are no longer just watching this space, they are moving into it. First, the Republic of Georgia has officially tapped Tether to launch GELT, a sovereign stablecoin pegged to the Georgian lari, backed by the state for real-world payments. At the same time, the Bank for International Settlements confirmed that tokenizing central bank reserves directly accelerates and completely overhauls cross-border payments. If central banks globally adopt this framework, it will fundamentally change global remittance. It seems the highest levels of fiat hegemony are capitulating.
Meanwhile, in Washington, the political push is getting louder. U.S. Treasury Secretary Bessent reaffirmed that the goal of the current administration is to make the United States the definitive home for digital assets, ensuring it doesn't become an offshore Wild West. Senator Cynthia Lummis also called on Congress to send the Bipartisan Clarity Act to President Trump's desk to solidify the country as the crypto capital of the world.
In fact, Trump himself doubled down on this support this week, calling crypto a major industry, while backing CFTC Chair Michel to lead derivatives regulation.
But it's not all smooth sailing globally. The UK recently slapped sanctions on 18 crypto platforms, banks, and payment networks tied to Russia's A7 system. Officials claim this network funneled over $90 billion in 2025 alone to bypass Western sanctions and fund military operations, a move that may in fact harm the UK more than Russia.
Which ties perfectly into what Russia is doing with its physical reserves. Russia has pulled off a historic gold trade. After aggressively accumulating gold at lower prices between 2014 and 2019, the Bank of Russia cut its holdings by 900,000 ounces in the first 4 months of 2026, generating an estimated $4.3 billion by selling into record-high prices near $4,800 per ounce to offset budget pressures from falling energy revenues.
Okay, now we have a deep dive into a maneuver that makes this geopolitics look like kindergarten. The American Reserve Modernization Act, or ARMA, an incredible piece of real legislation currently sitting on Congress's desk that could completely upend the global monetary system. Yes, this is a genuine game changer. Introduced as a bipartisan House bill by Representative Nick Begich, Rep. Alaska, and Representative Jared Golden, along with 17 co-sponsors. This isn't just campaign rhetoric. It has a parallel track in the Senate with Senator Lummis's Bitcoin Act. So what exactly does ARMA propose?
ARMA mandates that the United States Treasury acquire 1 million Bitcoin over a five-year period, purchasing roughly 200,000 BTC per year. That would equate to 5% of the total Bitcoin supply, making the U.S. the dominant sovereign holder on Earth with five times more Bitcoin than all other nations combined.
And they're not treating it like a short-term trade. The bill stipulates a strict 20-year lockup period where the Treasury cannot sell, alongside mandatory public on-chain proof of reserves published every 90 days. But the real kicker, and what blew my mind, is how they plan to pay for it.
Right. The bill is completely budget neutral. No new taxes, no new tariffs, and no printing of new dollars. They're exploiting a financial loophole that dates back over 50 years.
To 1973, to be exact, when the U.S. completely abandoned the gold standard and Congress passed the Par Value Modification Act, which legally froze the book value of the government's gold reserves at $42.22 per ounce. Even though real-world gold has skyrocketed past $4,500 an ounce, the U.S. Treasury still carries its 8,133 metric tons of gold on the official books at that 1973 price of $42.22.
Exactly, and that this leaves an astronomical $1.17 trillion of unrecognized, unrealized gains sitting silently on the Treasury's balance sheet. ARMA simply proposes to reprice that gold to modern market values on the books. The moment they do, they instantly unlock $1.1 trillion in book value without spending a single new taxpayer dollar, using a part of that newly recognized accounting surplus to fund the 1 million Bitcoin acquisition.
It is a masterful structural shift, as while the U.S. executive branch, the Treasury, Wall Street, and the Federal Reserve align behind this digital reserve transition, countries like China are making a second fatal mistake. The same mistake they made in 1873 when they clung to a depreciating silver standard while Western nations aggressively moved to gold, setting the financial power base for the following century. Today, China is aggressively stacking gold, while the U.S. is positioning to legally front-run the world on the next century's reserve asset, Bitcoin.
All this despite the weakening effect it will have on the dollar itself, highlighting the new priorities of the modern U.S. administration. We will be watching closely as we continue to front-run this once-in-a-century monetary reform reset.
We sure will. Okay, before we sign off, we have to look at a fascinating on-chain wildcard from this past week. Binance Wallet launched Event Rush, which allows users to trade real-world cultural, sporting, and political events as on-chain tokens, reminiscent of some of the RWA tokens the DBM community has backed in recent years.
Unbelievable times for those paying attention and building their own government-backed digital asset portfolios before many people and institutions have even realized the shift. From trillion-dollar sovereign gold repricings to RWA tokens packed with value and utility, the digital asset landscape is developing right before our eyes.
Well, that wraps up this week's DBM Strategy Call, folks. We will see you in part two for a weekly analysis of what practical actions we are taking this week as we continue to manage our digital businesses with these macro tailwinds and increasingly clear objectives in the worlds of equity, yield, staking, and AI-driven profits. See the show notes for access, and see you next time.